Welcome to another episode of The Larry O Show. We have a slightly different setup here. My co-host is a little closer to me now.
How's it going? It's John Phelps.
And I'm Larry O. Again, this is The Larry O Show, FL Studio Podcast. We talk everything FL and music production related. This week, and like every other week, we do a big, massive giveaway for the whole community. Again, to five different producers, we're giving away my entire FL music production course catalog. The way to win, the way to enter is at some point in this podcast, I'm going to be mentioning a keyword or a key phrase. You hear that key phrase, you jot it down in the comment section, and you are entered into the giveaway.
Simple as that.
We're also going to be announcing the winners to last week's giveaway in this episode as well, so stay tuned for that.
Chill.
With that being said, I mean, we can just hop right into it. There's some FL news, some cool FL news, and some, you know, some cool things happening in the FL world that I wanted to touch on. One of them is, we're big, I am a big believer on Flex and an advocate for Flex.
Yeah, and I've been using it more. Yeah. I'm with it for sure.
It's awesome, bro.
Yeah.
It's everything. Like I said, it's replaced Omnisphere for me. It's replaced a lot of plugins. It's my go-to. I go to it every beat now. Mm-hmm. Every single beat, I'm in there and I'm using it in some way. Even if, you know, I'm just going through fishing for some sounds, I might not find whatever I like, but I mean, they just made it that much better. So I recently got a hold of these new packs that Flex just dropped with UVI. So what I didn't know is a lot of times things are happening so quick that like it's hard to keep up on.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, I don't know when it happened, but FL ImageLine bought UVI plugin company. So now what they're doing with them is that they're collaborating and making more Flex packs, which is so smart. It's mm-hmm. so smart because we've been saying, yo, Flex needs a big upgrade. At least me, and I remember I had a conversation with Elgin from Audio Nerds podcast, and he was saying too, like, we need some more packs in Flex. 100% agreed with him, and they had been working on it clearly because this is something that's been in the works for a long time. And I was lucky enough to get a hold of like all the beta stuff, create some content around it, and just get to use it. And you know, one of my favorite ones is the Dark Orchestra. So right now they have the new ones that are in here. They have Muted Plucks, Dark Orchestra. They have Analog Monsters and Austrian Grand Piano. Wait, one more, too. Let me see what the other one is.
I wonder what that sounds like.
Get to
the chopper.
The quality is so good. There was one.
It's just
I'm
Arnold
missing.
Quotes.
Oh, acoustic drums. So they have an acoustic drums pack.
All right.
Yeah, so it's Muted Plucks, Austrian Grand Piano, Electric Keys, Acoustic Drums, Dark Orchestra, and Analog Monsters.
That's all UVI stuff.
It's all UVI for Flex.
Nice.
So it all integrated right into Flex.
And yeah.
They got like, you can grab the bundle or whatever. You can get them individually. It's whatever like the normal prices for the packs that you could get inside of Flex. Because
yeah,
some of them, a lot of them are free that just come with it. And they'll update every now and then like a new free pack that's inside Flex.
Mm.
But then they'll also like chill, what was it? Hyper Pop. The chill lo-fi one. I think those were maybe like 15, 20 bucks a piece if you wanted to grab them. So it's pretty much the same thing, which is cool.
And if you want like regular updates on all that stuff, what's the subscription that people can get to kind of like guarantee that they get each new drop? Is there
thing? I think for Flex, I think you got to pay per pack.
Okay.
Whenever they do a paid pack. So it's not like what they should. So what they should do is maybe integrate it somehow into the cloud. But then that might, I don't know, I might have some confusion attached to that because if they're collaborating with other people to
right.
make Flex packs, then how do they decipher who gets what portion and what share of the revenue?
Right. Somebody's you know what I mean? Going to be signing something away.
Yeah, exactly.
As opposed to just like one-off deals and yeah. stuff. Be like, all right, we're going to give you a percentage deal.
Yeah. So when they do these collabs where, in this case, I mean, it is a collab in a sense of like working with a different company, but they bought the company, so... which is smart, which gets me to the next thing is why it's so smart, because now they don't have to be completely in-house and just or go and find some freelancers to create more Flex packs. Now
right.
they have in-house plugin companies where I might be wrong, but this might be the first like plugin company that they've acquired. I know they've gotten
yeah.
a bunch of sample pack companies, but this might be the first plugin company that they've acquired, which now it makes me think, what other like full-on plugins are coming?
Well, it's smart to do that
making.
Because you're surrounding yourself with people that are proficient at what they do
exactly.
specifically, and all you do is aggregate them into your platform. Like
right.
you just say, these guys are really known for this thing. Let's plug them into with what we got going on. So both of us eat and we can, you know, expand the way that we want to with a lot of this like cloud software and all sorts of like that trend going forward. So that's really inspiring that it's like that collaborative between so many different people that you're able to tap in with. So
it's awesome. I think it's great because what's happening now with ImageLine is it's becoming this like major corporation.
Yeah.
Whereas I didn't think it was ever going to become something like that. They're treating it like a Walmart. Like this company is being run like it's Walmart, like it's Target, like it's Starbucks. Like it's a massive company. I wouldn't be surprised at some point. I wouldn't know the logistics of it, but I wouldn't be surprised at some point if it went public. I don't know if it can being a European company. I don't know the logistics. I'm not like savvy when it comes to that sort of thing, but they're running it as if it's one of those types of companies and corporations.
For sure. And like, it's just following every time a new CEO comes to a place, you kind of look at like what that CEO has done in the past, like their track record, so to speak. And it just makes sense given that the dude who's on board now, was it Native Instruments or something?
He was
like
the CEO of Native Instruments.
Right. So
now he's the CEO of ImageLine.
So he's bringing all that background into what they're doing now. So it's like a super strategic move and it just totally makes sense for what their plans are.
This is why I want to get Josh on the pod because I know he's like sort of local. I would love to have him like here in studio for a conversation because he has so much knowledge on this. Even though I feel like he's only been with the company a few years, but like having the conversations with him, and he does artist relations for anybody that doesn't know, but like he's with ImageLine and I have a lot of conversations with him, especially like with the giveaways that we've done. And when I went to NAMM, we worked a lot together on mini events that we did at the FL booth. Great dude. And his knowledge just in business and ImageLine and FL Studio in general is wild. Like even though he's only been with the company like 3 years, maybe.
Right.
And so I would love to have him on at some point and
for sure.
Maybe we just, you know, have him come up, make the trip up because I don't think he's that far away. But if he's ever like in this area, we got to have him on because it would be an awesome conversation. But
sure.
I know we jotted some ideas down. We have like some segments that we could do. We got the versus battle.
Yeah.
I think I'll hold off on guess that plugin for this week.
All right.
Maybe we'll do that next week. But we could do a little quick versus if you want.
Sure.
I have a few. All right, this is a good one. So we'll do versus. Drawing automation versus recording automation.
Mm-hmm. I like recording automation, but I find myself more times than not just drawing it in.
Really?
Yeah, for sure. But I like recording it.
I love recording it.
Yeah.
I
much more feel.
Yeah, I find myself recording more times than not.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe lightly tweaking, drawing the automation in afterwards.
Right.
Like I might just make
snap
a straight
it a little
line,
bit more,
snap
yeah.
it to the grid a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah. I love, like, you get that natural feel when you record it.
Right. Yeah, you get the idea out,
yeah.
you know, fine tune it as it goes.
Yep.
I f*** with that.
Yep, I like that.
Go ahead. All right. Pitching samples up or pitching them down?
Pitching them down. Don't get me wrong, I do pitch some samples up, but what's the first thing in my mind whenever I think about pitching a sample? It's pitching it down an octave. Or like
slow
maybe
it
like
down.
Slow it down, pitch it down. That's always my go-to.
Yep.
I don't know why. It just feels like if I'm looking for a dirtier, like grungier sound, it's always got to go down.
So you're usually slowing it down.
Yeah.
Yo, I've been loving the edits too. Like the BPM one was mad funny.
Right?
Yeah, just in the background.
Yeah.
Mad funny.
Yeah, I just get like random ideas. You know what it is, bro? I treat the edits for this podcast that go up on IG and TikTok. I treat those edits, and I always have, I treat them like a beat.
Yeah.
Like I feel like, because that's become like another passion of mine is like chopping and editing these things up. Like I have fun doing them.
Yep.
Don't get me wrong, sometimes it's a lot of work and I'm like, oh man, kind of dread, like, especially with the podcast, what I'm doing is I'm listing down a whole bunch of clips that I could do and I'm looking at this list and I'm like, yo, what the hell am I going to do this week or today or tomorrow?
Right.
And I'm like, yo, but I treat them like a little mini production.
Mm-hmm.
So I get these like random ideas where I'm like, all right, maybe I can screen record like you mentioned the BPM video that we did. I went and just screen recorded the click track, you know, the metronome.
Yeah.
Screen recorded the metronome at different BPMs to add it, just to add a little bit of flavor, a little bit of sauce on top of the video, because it's that eye and ear candy, just like a beat.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. So I have fun with it. Headphone mixing versus monitor mixing.
Headphone mixing.
Yeah.
For sure. Oh, yeah. For sure. Wow. Open back headphones.
Yep.
With the, you know, just have it in there.
Yep.
Because I feel like, what I really like to do is I like to have my headphones on and the speakers on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. It's kind of like a superstition thing. It just feels more immersive and cool. But yeah, I prefer headphones. I'm just so used to it. And like, you can control more of the variables, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Like, even if you're in an untreated room, if you have headphones, it doesn't matter. So I like headphone mixing for that reason.
I like that. I'm really 50-50 on it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I never really had good headphones, like, getting into music. So whenever I did put a pair of headphones on, it would always sound so bad to me. And I was never used to, they would be, like, really crappy studio headphones that I
right,
had maybe
I
to, like,
you.
Record a client back in the day. And it was always a horrible pair of headphones. Never, like, I couldn't afford a good pair of headphones. So I was just like, and then I would try to mix with those sometimes and listen to that. And I never listened to music aside from the music that I was trying to mix in those headphones. So I never knew how they responded. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I never knew the sound of those headphones.
Right.
So it never turned out good. I was always so used to monitor mixing. But now that I have like some good, better pair of headphones, it's a 50-50 thing. I'll create a beat on there, or I'll, you know, start the mix on mm-hmm. the monitors, and then I'll go to the headphones and I'll mix in the headphones for like 10-15 minutes.
Right.
Then I'll put them down. I'll go back to the monitors. I think I mentioned this one other time too. I'll turn the headphone volume up, and then I'll turn the monitor mix off completely and just listen to the headphones
outside,
like on the desk, on the table.
Yep.
And just hear what it sounds like.
You can hear like what qualities are peeking through.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yep.
If the drums aren't like balanced out, you can kind of hear from far away and be mm-hmm. like, oh, okay, from outside the headphones. Like, if somebody was just hearing that on a speaker on like, you know, mm-hmm. on a table somewhere, be like, what would it sound like?
So yeah, I love doing
makes
that.
Makes sense, yeah.
And the other thing that I'll do too sometimes is if I'm like listening to my mix in the monitors, I'll turn it on and I'll like leave the room. I'll go in like another part of the house
right.
or like out of my studio, another part of the room or another part of the house, or like even maybe upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll listen to it like coming through the floor. Like, is the bass hitting right? Or just to have it on, because sometimes I'll just like randomly just think of other things while it's playing on in the background.
Yep.
And then maybe even if it's on a loop, something will just like stick out to me like, oh, I got to change that. Or I got to add that to the mix, or I got to add that to my beat.
Yeah.
So it goes the same for like mixing songs and just like production creation in general.
Mm.
Same thing. Like I go bounce back and forth, different inspiration. All right. One more. Soft clipper on the master versus limiter on the master.
If I had to choose one versus the other?
Yeah, like if you are just making
clipper.
A beat.
Yeah, soft clipper. I think it's got more like, it's got more character to it. And like the limiter, I feel like the limiter just, it works for, let's put it this way. The soft clipper, I've used it for a lot of different stuff and it's consistently worked. The limiter has had varying like levels of, am I going to use this versus not?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're talking about on the master, but in instances with like vocals, I won't always put the limiter on the vocals. It just depends on what quality I'm trying to get out of the vocal.
I got you.
Like if it's more of like a vintage feeling thing, I might not glue the vocal to 0 dB or like as close to zero as you do with the mm-hmm. limiter. Like I might just like leave it with the soft compression on it. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah.
The soft clipper has just got its own quality to it that I think brings a lot of, like, I don't know, it just brings a lot of flavor to it, and it's not a hard cut on the signal.
Gotcha.
Mm. That's my take on it. One thing I wanted to ask you about, because this was something that I picked up working with you for so many years, was comping vocals.
Mm.
And I don't think enough people do it. This is something I don't think enough people do, which is comping their vocals to make them sound more glued together and like professional.
Yeah.
You can make vocals that you did in your home studio sound incredible just by like lining them up and making sure that they're like balanced and crisp.
Yep.
It like even just lining it up makes it sound like there's an effect on it sometimes.
Yep. I love just that whole process in general. And another thing too that falls into the comping category is like doing multiple takes of the same exact thing. And this is where I've seen you do it, and we've done it in the past in the studio together, was like going through to find and to create the perfect take.
Mm.
So so many times, like for anybody that records or records themselves or knows somebody that records, record multiple takes like the same way, like every way through, like straight through. Do it like four times.
Mm-hmm.
Four takes that you think are really good. And then go through those four takes and be like, all right, so this little phrase is really good from take number one. And then right after that, this one word is good from take number three.
Yeah.
Let me slice and dice, bring it up. And now this is my main vocal. So now your main vocal, you do that throughout a verse and throughout the song and throughout the chorus. Now you have like Frankenstein, the perfect vocal take.
Right.
All the best parts from those four takes, say, those four takes. And that's like a really good process.
And when you click that generic bleed between the clips, it's just completely seamless.
Yep.
Like I've been in sessions before where like people have taken the vocal like a few different times, and literally what can separate a good verse from being a great verse can be your delivery completely.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So if there's just like one word that is just like not up to par, just going to the next take underneath it maybe and subbing that in, just a quick flip right there.
Yep.
It just can take your verse to the next level. Just one simple trick.
Yep. I love that. And you could do that for instrument recording too, not even just vocals. Because I know there's a lot of producers listening.
Hit a dead
that might
note.
Not relate with the whole vocal thing. But what you can relate with is the fact that, like, if you're recording instruments.
Right. If you hit a dead note
and
you know in this other take, you can just sub that, you know, that good note in for the one that was a dud.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
For sure, man.
Hell yeah.
So comp your stuff, producers.
Comping engineers. Is key.
Comping is key.
Yep.
You know what saved my butt the other day?
What?
I totally forgot about this feature, but it's right in that.
It's going to save my elbow right now.
Was the revert to last backup.
Oh, yeah,
that's
bro.
A secret gem right there.
Yeah.
I was working on something, you know, when you get, like, locked into a beat and you forget save to save it. And you get that.
Yeah. Yep.
The ding.
Oh, you got the pinwheel because you're on Mac.
Just right there.
So you get the pinwheel.
Yeah. So, you know what you're
going
to
do, bro?
When you get that revert to last backup and you save it, you know, you can set it to different increments. And
that's what I was just going to say.
Is it like every 2 minutes now?
You got to do every 1 minute. The quickest that you could do was every 5 minutes and before Risky Operations.
Yeah.
But then there was somebody in the community, like a bigger producer. So like it got through to ImageLine. I think he might have made it. He made it public and he had a big enough platform to where like they seen it and they seen how many people wanted it.
Hmm.
They said, yo, why don't you just do every 1 minute?
They seen
I think it
might
have been Afrojack.
Yeah. Oh,
I could
damn.
Be wrong.
Shouts out Afrojack. That's my guy.
Afrojack said, yo, why don't you just make it every 1 minute? I need every 1 minute. And then they made it. So that leads me to this video that I was about to play. It's another form of FL Studio listening to the community, right? TM88 reached out to the community or just like put it out there into the universe that he wanted a specific like click option back in. And they made a video on it. Monophonic painting. So in the piano roll.
Mm-hmm.
The video's fire too, like how they did this.
Yo, FL. What's new? Oh yeah? Ah, that's cool. Man, I think we should bring that old thing back, man. You know what I'm talking about. The paint tool.
Paint tool, paint tool.
So you see what's going on right there?
Mm.
Is that you could paint the notes in like that, but then not let go of the mouse and just boom, bring it up to another note.
Yeah, they gonna love that one. For sure.
Just something so like little, To make monophonic painting the default mode, open general settings and turn this on. Boom. This will make the paint tool monophonic without having to hold shift.
There you
so
go.
They brought that back into 21.2, which is awesome. Just another form of how much like FL listens to the community, to their power users, to just everybody in general. Like just right. something so little and stupid like that. To where who knows if they even realized that they got rid of it. You know, maybe it just in happened
yeah,
in an update.
Just got kind of phased out.
Yeah, phased out, or maybe they didn't even really notice. It was one of those things that just didn't make it through.
What's interesting to me about that is that it's just gonna it shows the fluidity of how these things will like progress. Mm-hmm. Where it's like you think that progress for a company or a program is like one way.
Yep.
But it can literally just revert back and be like, hold on, we should go back to this other option, reintroduce that. Like
yep.
And you need to be able to do that, and it's important to be able to like tap in not only with like your sponsored like ambassadors, but also the content like creators in the you know the comments,
yeah, man,
like in the forums and stuff. So it's good to be tapped back in with that stuff, and all the cloud software again, like it's just showing you how fluid everything is going to become and continue to be. And just being able to tap in with the people that are using the program every day to get stuff done.
Hell yeah, bro. So before I forget, we can get into the winners from last week's giveaway.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to the video real quick and pick the winners. So if you missed it at the beginning of the episode and every episode, 5 people are going to be winning every single one of my FL Studio courses. So in the comments from last week's video, I'm going to be going through right now and picking 5 winners. All right, so we got a bunch of comments. Last week's keyword was vivid. I'm going to scroll, 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 and we have our first winner, which is, damn, user-KE5LW1ZW6D.
He made that just a comment, bro.
Pick a username.
He didn't even pick it.
Winner number 2 is somebody that commented, you vivid me. Biscuit_pilled. Biscuit Dang. Underscore pilled. Okay. Scroll, scroll, scroll. Winner number 3 is Mike PRC 777. Vivid for the courses. Trying to do this and not screw this. All right, next winner, number 4 is, oh my God, see, this is what I'm saying, Sex, Rhymes, and Mixtapes. That's winner number 4,
hey,
right?
Yo.
So winner number 5 and final winner for this week's giveaway is Iceman the DJ. Those are your 5 winners for last week's giveaway. Congratulations. Reach out to me on a DM on Instagram, and I will send you the links to all my courses. Congratulations. Wow. Stay tuned for the keyword for this week's giveaway. It's going to be happening real soon in the comments. Drop that down when you hear it.
Who's using bass drum?
Drop I don't a even comment. Know what that is. What is. Look at this.
Drop a comment if you're using bass drum.
Where did this plugin come from? Ugh. It's literally a plugin that just has bass drums in it.
Sounds like Pope.
It's got a little sound design in it. It looks like it's from the 90s, though. It looks like this is maybe one of the first plugins they ever created.
This was one of the plugins that they were saying would make FL Studio not a good DAW. They were like, you can't be using this DAW. Look at this.
You can't be using this.
Bass drum app. Thing. What is that? That's atrocious. Trash that plugin. Bass drum. Get it out of here.
Yeah, this week's version of Trash That Plugin, number 1 is Bass Drum. Get it out of here. Goodbye.
Get it out.
Goodbye. There was another pretty interesting thing that I came across. It's like controlling lights with FL Studio. So like you can run like a light show. It's called like controlling DMX lights.
Yo.
Have you ever wondered what your music would feel like with a proper light show? We'll teach you to add synchronized lighting to your tracks using Zgame Editor Visualizer's DMX output capabilities. DMX is like MIDI, but for lights. First, an NTEC USB DMX interface. A DMX cable that has 5 pins on the male side and 3 pins on the female side, and a DMX light with stroboscope effect, RGB, tilt and rotation. Now it's time to jump into FL Studio and get those lights moving with your music. And there it is. In Zgame Editor Visualizer's Settings tab, check the button that says Enable DMX Output. Once you've done that, go to the main tab and choose Hardware from the dropdown, then DMX Control. Each channel here controls one property of the light. Rotations, red, green and blue LEDs, white level, strobe effects, tilts and so on. Here's what some of them do in context.
That's something different, something that I didn't expect from FL Studio. They're almost taking that approach where they want to maybe go more like live show stuff, you know? Like they, you know, like Ableton. Ableton has a lot of live stuff in it, but FL, they've always had like the performance mode. They've always had the idea of making it more of like a live show type of DAW as well.
For sure.
So they've integrated like a couple of different things. And that's something that I never thought I would see, never thought I would hear, never thought I would think about, like to like, you know, use in a different way to use FL to like run a light show.
Right.
That's
yeah,
wild.
I mean, you could, yeah, you could almost be like a front of house person, or like if you're traveling with an artist, having that in your machine to tap into like the, you know, the front of house soundboard.
Yeah.
And be like, you know, this is our light show that we have for this act. That's cool.
Pretty fire, pretty different.
And that that plugin, like the Z Game, whatever, that's
yeah, the
like,
Z Game editor.
That's been around for a long ass time.
Yeah.
So I guess that DMX feature is like new for it.
I guess so. I don't know. But this is the thing. Like, sometimes with the videos that FL puts out, it could be a feature that's been around for a long time. They just think maybe it's not getting the light that it deserves, so they'll go back and they'll push your video out. So who knows? That feature could have been there for a while too.
Right.
Like the Z Game editor. That's something that I think they thought was going to make more buzz than it did. Because a lot, I think it's a CPU like eater, like big time. And you have to have a good graphics card. So when I first heard about the Z Game editor, I wanted to start using it for like visualizers because I was putting a lot of beats out.
That's when I heard
about
it.
I was trying to do
too.
The whole BeatStars thing. So I was trying to find ways to create like a visualizer for the beats that I was putting out, was trying to sell. And then I could just never get a grasp for it. And my computer just couldn't handle it. So it was like the beat that I was using, even if I just wanted to import just like an MP3 or a wave beat to create around it, it still just, it wasn't hitting right for me. Maybe if I revisit it. But that's an interesting way to use the Z Game editor. And
I think if they
run a live show,
if they revitalize the Z Game to be more like how you were using it. But imagine if you could just drag and drop like your finished song into the window and it would like program like a basic light, you know, basic light sort of thing. And then you could be like, oh, well, I want this bass drum or like bass frequency to be like violet colored. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And like to move like this. If it made it more, I think, appealing, that's the issue with a lot of the FL stuff, I feel like, is that It's very intuitive for me because I've been using it for a long time, and I think that there's certain elements of it, like it's very visually pleasing, but there are other like components of it that are not. And
there's
the Z Game is one
really
of
really hard to understand. And that's really hard. You ever like heard of like the MIDI scripting?
No, that sounds like calculus.
It is, bro.
Yeah.
I'll like that's reason like I've never like done a piece of content on it. I've never really talked about it because I don't feel like I have the brain power to get into that. That feels like school to me when I start looking at that. I don't know. There's some people that are really into it, and I can't even like fully explain it right now, but just know that it's the most advanced type of thing that you could do in FL Studio.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, I can bring somebody on the pod that is really like well-versed in the MIDI scripts and that whole back end of things, like writing out chords and the Roman numerals. Like, remember how we talked about that? How like in the chord generator, that's like a part of like the MIDI scripting type thing. It's wild, bro. It's on another level, on another level of music production and sound design.
I think it would be really crazy if they started like implementing more educative like approaches to each plugin. You know what I mean? Like imagine if you opened up like a plugin and you could have like an assistant or like a tutor. Like a tutor
tab about
or something
that one
like
time.
That. Yeah.
Yeah.
So like if you could just go into it and be like, what am I looking at? And you just press a button and all of a sudden it like gives you like either some sort of a tutorial or like a guide or using AI, maybe if you type in like how do I use this to create visualizers?
Yeah, I think AI would be would have a big hand in that.
Yeah.
Because you could just like literally type in like on Instagram, they're pushing this whole AI like search thing.
Yeah.
I forget what it's called. They have a name for it, but it's like in your search tab, like in your explore tab or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's Meta AI or whatever.
Mm.
So it's like an assistant basically, and you have a conversation with it, like in a DM.
Right.
So it could be along the same lines as that for FL Studio and ImageLine.
I
think that'd be really cool. You have like a little box up in the top where it's, you know, FL AI.
Because
you know?
a big thing with like learning a new program is not always knowing the way to like prompt like what you're looking for.
Yeah.
So I think like AI and ChatGPT and stuff like that could be really useful in like getting new users to use each like plugin more effectively.
Yeah.
Being like, oh, this would be really cool. Or like imagine if there was a general like in the questions tab, if you could be like, and this would be a good way for FL to like source new ideas for what they could be doing if they're logging these questions and prompts. Like imagine if I was in FL and I was just like, can I make like techno beats with this program?
Mm.
And it just like gives me a breakdown on how to make a techno beat.
Yeah.
And it says, techno is a slow building electronic dance music format, usually 16 bars.
And here's a template.
Yeah, yeah. Templates. You know what I'm saying? Or like, how do I make it like a visualizer?
Mm-hmm.
It could kind of give you like, you know, a turn by turn on how to use it.
I think that'd be awesome. That'd be awesome. I think we got to do a keyword because we're about to be wrapping up here. So again, I apologize, but the keyword ended up at the end. Just how it's sometimes it how it's, you know, it's how the cards
how it is.
Fall. You know, it's how they fall. Today's keyword is Mighty Shucks because I'm wearing my beer league jersey and they're called the Mighty Shucks. So that's the keyword.
Aw, shucks.
So comment in the comment section, Mighty Shucks, and I'm going to be picking 5 people in the comments next week that are going to be winning my entire FL Studio music production course. I think we're out of time. You want to drop some socials, some things that you've been working on?
Yeah. If you want to check me out on Instagram and TikTok, especially, I'm going to be doing live streams every week where I do beat cookups and some live music jams.
Yeah.
You can hit me up, ITS John Phelps on TikTok and Instagram.
Let's go. Let's get it. I want to thank you and thank everybody for joining. You know, thank you for watching and sharing. And if you haven't, make sure you like, comment, subscribe. And as always, share this with a friend if you get me.